Hello, welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast and a happy new year to everyone. Manchester United have just beaten Aston Villa 2-1 to go joint top of the league. Joint top of the league, Manchester United. That's good, isn't it? I've got Matt with me. Say hello. And I have also got James with me.
Hello, happy new year, everybody.
How are we doing, guys? We enjoy the game?
No. Awful. No, it was well good.
No.
It was very, very tense for the last 10 minutes or so. But no, good performance, good game, nice way
good
to end New Year's Day. So happy.
I've forgotten it's New Year's Day pretty much all day. I kind of.
It's also Friday.
Yeah.
Who knew? Yep. Feels like a Sunday.
It is a weird time. Do you enjoy the game, James?
I did. Good game. United defending well. Nice to see it. It's lovely. It feels really nice to sort of like lift your head up and sort of be a bit, you know, because by no means are we the finished product, but to win that game today, that was lovely. It felt really, really nice. It felt important too, and like Matt said about the last 10 minutes there. Bit edgy at the end, bit nervy, bit of Eric Bailly heroics getting us through, as his teammates let him know at the end there.
I'm mobbed. Absolutely mobbed, didn't he?
But I enjoyed that, and it really felt like, I mean, you just don't want to get too giddy, basically. Today's going to be a bit of a giddy podcast, I think, but we'll try and rein it in.
We'll try and level it out, but we're allowed to get a little bit giddy. Because at the end of the day, I've just put the post out on the...
we're going
to
win the league.
On the social media. Well, yeah, we're definitely winning the league. No, whichever way you cut it, being level on points with Liverpool, after the same amount of games played, coming on for halfway through the season, is a decent return, and no one would have thought we would be in this position 3 or 4 games into the season. I certainly wouldn't have done. I thought we'd be behind the pack, maybe 5th or 6th, just like we have been for years, just kind of looking up and hoping that we can get in there. But no, we're right in the mix, and I think we're all Southampton fans now for Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Because that would, any drop points there would mean we win our game in hand against Burnley, which has been arranged. Oh, my God. It's been arranged. So, 12th of January, I think it is. So, 5 days before we go to Liverpool. So, anything that Southampton get at St. Mary's on Monday night would mean a win against Burnley puts us actual top going into playing them. So,
now, I have a question for you. I asked James this before. Have we been top since we last won the league at any point? Because I feel like we haven't.
Post-Fergie, basically. Yeah.
Possibly Jose season 2.
Do you reckon?
I think very early on when we were 4-0 FC, weren't we?
That was it, 4-0 FC.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, right, okay. Because we were pretty much neck and neck with City for like all season, so I just thought, I wonder if there's any chance we'd be top, or we might just be second, because obviously City come before us.
I remember now. Yeah, we took the initiative and ran with it for the first few weeks, because that was Lukaku's debut season.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a couple on his first appearance, didn't he? And then it propelled us into this lead. We were talking about when you asked me, and I was trying to think. But yeah, we'd have had to have started a season really, really strongly to have, I mean, to even be top, you know, after
It might have even done similar on Jose's first season, because we were pretty level with City for quite a while, and then we tailed off.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was one of them two seasons. It may have been both, but I don't think we've been top since. I think the last time we were as high as second was the first game of last season when we beat Chelsea 4-1, 4-0, 4-1.
4-0, I think.
4-0. We were 4-0 FC, weren't we, again, for the first game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was the highest we've been until now. Third was the highest we achieved when we got there at the end of the season. So, yeah, and if I mentioned it in the preview piece on the website, that United, again, in the annual table, we're third behind only Liverpool and City for last season, which we don't have to place too much importance on it, but that's the sort of thing that Liverpool were doing before they got to the 90 points and 100 points marks and stuff like that. So you have to look at it as positive steps in the right direction, and the league table now also makes it look really positive. And kind of just reflects where we are since Bruno Fernandes came in, really. And winning games like we've won tonight is what people that are contending for the league, they win them games, don't they?
Chelsea against very good teams as well. Like, we know that Villa had a shit season last season, but they've really turned it on this season, and they've been really good and really impressive. They've maybe not been as consistent as they probably wanted to be, but yeah, they've got so much talent there, and something's really clicking for them these days. And if you'd probably looked at that early in the season, I probably wouldn't have been as optimistic about the win. But I said to Connie as soon as the game started, I was like, we can win this. We can definitely win this because we've got so much talent. It's just making sure we take our chances and then just making sure you keep the likes of Grealish and El Ghazi quiet, because they'll hurt you. They'll hurt you.
Yeah, Grealish looked dangerous all night, and we kept letting him have the ball, actually, didn't we? And letting him put crosses in, which it got a little bit sketchy at points. But yeah, at the start of the game, first 10 minutes or so, we had a lot of the ball, but there was no real chances to speak of. Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford were hunting down the ball like a mini pack. And I think the message that we need to start games stronger has definitely set in now. And they're really starting games quicker. But we didn't get our rewards until later on in the half, obviously, but there was a chance from Anthony Martial early on. That sort of angle that Anthony Martial finds himself in a lot of the time and just arcs it round, but Martinez parried it wide. Other than that, we had a good chance for Fred, which, as good a game as Pogba had, and we'll come to him later, Pogba should probably have took the shot on himself.
Yeah, we're seeing Pogba do this in recent games. He's been a bit selfless, which is good. It's good for the team and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes I think Paul should just take the initiative there and just hit that. Really good striker of the ball, as we know. And maybe it goes in. I did watch it again, and I did see a few guys on the line or in and around the six-yard area. Maybe Pogba, you know, because he's better at football than me, maybe he looked at that and thought, hang on a minute, I've got more chance of someone else. But then, unbeknownst to him, he looks around and it's Fred, who's, let's just say, you know, if we're being kind, percentage-wise of his shots from outside the box, it's not massively high, is it, really? He's got Ander Herrera-style level of long-distance shooting.
Got
so
Herrera-itis,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, God bless him. But, you know, on second viewing, it weren't too far over the bar, really, was it? He struck it quite well, but you're just thinking, aren't you, it's not Fred's forte. It should even be someone like McTominay, maybe, just to hit that low and hard. So, anyone but Fred, I'm thinking there, really, because, the ball was there to be hit. Pogba, there was a few instances, not to get ahead of ourselves, a few instances where Pogba was doing some really good link-up and ultimately was being selfless with it, playing somebody else in or dummying it for somebody, and it's good. And with players like Martial in the side, those kind of things come off quite well. Well, maybe they don't always result in a goal, but really good technical players in really tight areas, and it's a joy to watch, definitely.
I think you're referencing a little passage where Fred was involved, actually, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Paul Pogba flicked it backwards, didn't he? And Martial put him in, Yeah, that was lovely. Around the 20-minute mark, I think we spent about 10 minutes camped in our own half, though. We didn't really get out, and Villa really grew into the game. But we got our goal just before half time, and we were speaking about it a few weeks ago that our strikers, apart from Cavani, don't score the type of poachers' goals in and around the 6-yard box. And Anthony Martial scored one tonight.
He must have heard the podcast.
I think. I'm probably his manager. But...
Well, podcast more than manager. Ollie probably heard the podcast and thought, I know.
These guys are onto something.
I'll tell Tony.
This in the dressing room before games to get him fired up. That's what they do.
Sometimes they don't know who's speaking, Ollie or you, James.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. the work rate that they've shown tonight was... these boys, they can do it, you know. But I'll let Matt speak now because he's getting ahead of me, so...
I actually forgot what the question was now. What was the question again, Tyler?
It wasn't a question.
We won. Did you enjoy it?
No. Yeah.
No, just Martial's...
Martial's goal, yeah. Yeah, it's weird. You don't really see him score them kind of goals, and it was kind of a scrappy little goal, but it was really well taken. And it, if he's going to score them kind of goals now, then he's going to be... I don't know. He's got more to offer, hasn't he, really? Because, again, the biggest like complaint that people have is the fact that he's not going to score them kind of goals. But if he's going to add that to his repertoire, then, he can get a hell of a lot more goals and do a more of a job. Especially now we've not got Cavani for a few games. He's going to have to lead the line again, and it'd be good for his confidence to get that kind of goal, I think.
Yeah, I think he is looking more confident again. I think he's kind of coming back into form again. He's had plenty of goals and assists in the last four or five games. So, yeah, it'd definitely be good to get him back firing again.
Yeah, to boil it down, I think that when Manchester United win, and Anthony Martial gets on the score sheet, it's a good day.
Yeah.
And the thing about Martial, as Matt referenced, it was a bit of a scrappier goal in terms of it was one of those get your head onto it, stoop down and do the dirty work. But do you know what I mean? It was harder for him to get onto. It wasn't a nonchalant little flick or anything. But the execution and the build-up to that goal was a thing of absolute beauty. It really was. So you've got Pogba.
Pogba started it, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's Pogba.
Big strong head.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the Pogba that we signed from Juve for 90 million. That's Paul Pogba. That's what he's good at. I mean, yeah, okay, a little bit like, what do you say? I wouldn't say like a training exercise, but he was sort of, street football or something like that, you know, sort of like he just flicked it, didn't he? And it was all, and you think, is this coming off? Oh, it is. There you go, little John McGinn, bless him. But the ball's over your head, son. Move, you know, get out of the way, let Paul carry on here. He heads it across, and then it goes to, I think, was it Wan-Bissaka that then sort of carried it a bit further? Was it Wan-Bissaka?
I think it was Rashford.
Oh, no, there you go. He flicked it onto Rashford, who then volleyed it with a bit of a heel flick sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then...
Wan-Bissaka.
There you go, yeah, to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Great at crossing, not so good at post-match interviews. Did you catch that, Sam?
Oh, God. Oh, it was awful, wasn't it?
I didn't even know where he was. And he was chewing gum so bloody loud.
Rule number one, chewing.
Shouldn't be chewing gum.
Oh, yeah, he does lack charisma, but he can put tackles in and the odd good cross. So
yeah, the odd good cross, yeah. And there
surprise
you go.
I suppose he didn't say tackle when they asked him a question. Just like, tackle? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the old skills kicking in.
What's the question? Tackle.
Yeah, he had an interesting night, Wan-Bissaka, actually, didn't he? He was at fault for their goal, really. I mean, Gary Neville was perplexed by it, and I think most of us were. He just needs to get back in position, doesn't he, rather than trying to stand over the ball a second time.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Spurs game when we conceded a goal sort of similar to that, when it was the free kick was, and we're just messing about near the ball rather than sort of...
Yeah, it was like a five-a-side goal. That.
Yeah, it's like lack of urgency, isn't it, and just... I think sometimes they're guilty of just feeling like they're in control when, you know, not being alert to danger as much as they should be, really. And yeah, it was a baffling one, but that was the only real blot on his night, I thought, really. I mean, it's a pretty big blot because it could have cost us, but yeah, a decent assist, a poor interview, and that absolutely mental interception that he did through flying through the air and almost took, I think, Matt Target's head off. Sounded like he took someone's head off anyway from the noise it made when he connected with the ball. But yeah, so we went in at half time 1-0 up anyway, and we'll cover the second half after the break. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Right, so let's get to the second half then. It was a second half that Villa started strongly. They came out of the traps pretty quickly, much like us in the first half, and created a few decent opportunities. There was a couple in a row, but the main standout one was Ollie Watkins' header, which produced an absolutely amazing save from De Gea.
Oh, absolute worldie.
Yeah.
He's so good. I can't... Can still pull them out when he kind of needs to, doesn't he? It's just there's not really much I can say about it. Just the acrobatics that were needed to pull off that save and to parry it away was such like.
Yeah, he got a good. He got a good, full good, hand behind.
Good
it,
hand, he? Yeah. He, like big, like a big shovel to it, knocked it over.
Yeah, it was one of those like quick reaction saves that Dea has been so good at over the years, and maybe hasn't pulled off as many over the last few years with his confidence being down and for whatever reason. But to me, it looks like he's back to his best. Like I can't remember too many howls from him this season. I mean, we've debated over a couple of free kicks where his positioning may have been off, but it looks like he's commanding his defence again and pulling out absolute worldy saves.
Yeah,
pretty regularly.
That to me harkened back to the days where you would get these kind of inhuman type saves because a ball would come in. When we saw Watkins rise to that ball, you know, your heart sinks a little bit. You're thinking, oh, okay, there you go. But he pulls it, you know, he pulls it out of the top corner. And De Gea's had so many of those where usually if it's another goalkeeper, if it's a human goalkeeper and it's going in and you resign yourself to that, there's a really, really weird De Gea feeling. I think about 14, 15 or 15, 16 when he was really like, you know, okay, United probably were still conceding more goals than they'd like. But when it came to just inhuman moments like that, where I remember a game against Southampton away and I think he pulled off. Actually, it's quite interesting because that was his first game back after we were going to sell him and all that kind of nonsense with the typewriter. Not the typewriter, the fax machine.
The typewriter.
There you go. We were typing
no
away.
No transfer has ever gone through.
We'd never type. We'd never type them a virus on a typewriter.
That's probably the reason why they didn't go through.
That's
the typewriter.
It. Ed Wood would try to type the transfer documents out on a typewriter, the old fool, and
then
it didn't
send
work.
It by carrier pigeon.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing us, you know, probably do that. But no, and he played really at St Mary's, and he had this really weirdly good performance, and I remember him picking one right from just above his head that was, you know, it's like bullet time. He was able to stop it. So basically De Gea, yeah, that save was top, and he is coming into his own a little bit. I just wonder if being so close to the top of the table, now you could take this as a cynical view if you want to, and I'm just interested to hear your thoughts, I guess, and by extension the thoughts of those that are listening. When you are close to the top of the league, and we don't want to get giddy, but it's the turn of the year. It's been a weird season, obviously. The games are not being played anywhere near the way that they should be in terms of crowds and the scheduling and things like that. But do you think sometimes the pressure gets to players and they fall away, but sometimes that spurs them on and you get these, it sort of galvanises the team as a unit. You saw at the end when they were all hugging Eric Bailly. But players like De Gea, maybe that's focusing him a little, you know, and you're getting these kind of sharp performances from him. And Pogba was great tonight, wasn't he? Again, and there's reasons behind why he might pick and choose his performances, and I'd hate to suggest that. But, you know, some of these players that we've got that are probably our most expensive assets, starting to come alive.
Our what should be our world-class players, really.
Yeah.
Over the seasons, you would say that them two should be our best players, whether they have been every season or every game or whatever.
And like resale value, if someone was to come in and buy them, they're paying over the odds, aren't they?
Yeah.
For those two especially, I think. So.
Yeah, they're the standout players that other teams would likely want over the last 4 or 5 years.
But what do you think about that? Do you think it's just focusing them? Like, you know.
I mean, there could be an element of them really feeling like they have something to play for now rather than a league position. I mean, I know, obviously, the title is a league position, rather than trying to get into third or fourth, or maybe that didn't quite drive them as much as it could do. And maybe having one eye on a potential title charge has just given them an extra boost. I mean, you could say Pogba was playing to get away. There's an argument for that. We don't know. I'm not certainly not accusing him of that personally, but there is the argument there that he could be up in his game to move on. Or he could just see that we're going in the right direction and he sees a chance for us to do something and wants to be involved in it, however long he's here. And same for De Gea.
Well, you saw at the end of the game how much Pogba was like getting involved, and he looks like he's in a place where he's happy, so maybe it's not all doom and gloom. Maybe he's just playing because he wants the same thing as everyone else wants. a bit of silverware.
We would absolutely love that if we could get the main silverware, definitely. So yeah, we avoided the equaliser, but it was coming for quite a while, wasn't it? And eventually did with the chance that Aaron Wan-Bissaka let happen from that free kick.
Yeah, so frustrating as hell, but again, most people would probably assume that a goal was going to come at some point, and we held off as much as we could, but a bit of stupidity from Wan-Bissaka led to their goal, and you can't really fault the amazing cross from Grealish because it was really well done, and obviously everything he does seems to be pretty mint anyway, but it just manages to get to Traore, and he slots it away. I felt quite sorry for De Gea and Maguire because they really they tried their best to make sure that didn't go in, but ball goes under De Gea's legs and I think just under Maguire's leg as well. And I think if they would have panned to Maguire, I think he would have got up and absolutely bollocked the fuck out of them all for that because he got up with some intent really quickly. So I think he was pretty pissed off about that, which you definitely would be.
Can you confirm or deny that, James? Do you watch with the crowd noise on or off tonight?
We had the crowd noise on, I think. Well, so all the swearing that the commentators were apologising for, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear as much as I liked to, which was flipping. It made me terribly cross. But Maguire was indeed, I can confirm, fuming. Yeah, he was fuming. And rightly so, because it's sort of schoolboy stuff, really, isn't it, with that free kick, as we mentioned before. It's ironic, though, because I think, wasn't it Maguire that made the mistake on the Spurs one, where he sort of was out opposite? I might be wrong.
In between them, yeah.
And he sort of just stood on the ball instead of... So, whatever, it's one of those. I wouldn't go too harsh on Wan-Bissaka for that. I think he just maybe got a little too intense in that moment and thought, right, I'm shutting this down, and then didn't think about his positional sense for that minute, or
yeah, it was
20 seconds, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was just the worst person that could have been behind him to create, wasn't it, really?
Exactly.
But it wasn't level for long. We got ourselves a penalty. We ordered ourselves a penalty, and we got ourselves a penalty.
Amazon delivered it promptly and on time.
Oh, no, not Amazon this time, though.
Oh, it wasn't Amazon, yeah.
No, it's Sky delivered it somehow.
Sky delivered it. Well done, guys. Well done, Gary.
Yeah, Pogba went down for it. I think we can safely say he was kind of playing for it. I can safely say that I think he was kind of playing for it.
I can say that you're saying that, too.
Yeah, he kind of left his leg out a little bit and just invited the touch, didn't he? But
I said to Matt at the time, I think the sort of term you can use is that he played for it. It was a bit Jungian, I thought, in the sort of traditional style of, oh, leg out. But in Dean Smith's interview, he's come in for a bit of criticism because he's been like, oh, yeah, well, you know, the defender, can't remember who it was at the time, but was, this is me speaking, not Dean Smith, by the way, because he probably has a rough idea of who his players are, but said, yeah, of course, there was, you know, a coming together and all this kind of stuff. To be fair, I'm not going to quote the interview because I can't remember what he said. But he said, basically, that the players kind of did... It was implying that his defender was all over Pogba, but Pogba's tripped himself up. But I suppose one thing can lead to another. Do you know, it's like if he's... I did the action there, but of course, this is an audio podcast. So, but if he's sort of, yeah, really tight to him to a point where he's causing him to fall over, then the two things can be...
I think their arms were getting tangled as well, weren't they? Yeah, there was a bit of a intertwining of arms and whatnot. So
he played for it, it was going to be
a penalty all day, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, you never thought it was going to get overturned or anything, did you? I don't think there was a chance of that. But up steps Bruno, and once again, absolutely lovely penalty. Just, I mean, Martinez got quite close to it, to be fair to him, but too far in the corner for him, and jobs are good. And I can't. I've lost count of how many goals Bruno's on now or assists.
15.
Is it 15?
15 for the season. One in front of Marcus Rashford.
Is that 14 and 15?
Yeah.
It's incredible numbers, really. That's just all competitions, though, isn't it? It's not just Premier League.
Oh, it could be all competitions. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it must be, wasn't it? Otherwise, they'd be really would be having some season. You just thought we just needed a third. I felt that we needed a third all the way through till the end, and especially in the last 10 minutes, which we'll get to. But we were pushing for the third. We had plenty of chances in between that spell of going back ahead and the kind of shaky last 10 where we were hanging on a little bit. I'll refresh you with a few of them, shall I? Martial had a nice little dribble through and smacked one with his left foot. It was kind of, it was being forced wide and just hammered it at Martinez, who decent save. But there was a couple of chances in a row. One where Bruno hits it from, I don't know, about 20, 25 yards out. Martinez tips it onto the bar. That's a great save. And then Rashford also had one that whistled wide from the resulting corner of that. Yeah. Really decent chances, and you just thought that third goal was going to come, but wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't to be, and any other day, probably would have got that third goal. It was really strange, because you felt like the likes of Pogba and Rashford deserved a goal today because of the work they put in. Some of the dribbling from Marcus today was amazing.
Yeah, he went on a few runs from like the halfway line, didn't he? Like, there was a couple of them.
Yeah, it was mesmerising. Was it the first half where they sent that guy absolutely packing? He just felt like, almost like turned himself inside out.
Yeah,
and just collapsed on the floor because he was like, I didn't know what the hell he was going to do with them. And just absolutely crumbled like Revita. But it's frustrating that Marcus couldn't get that goal with the amount of chances he had. I think a few times he might have been a bit too selfish and probably could have put other people in and got and they probably would have had maybe another goal out of that, but he's a striker and he wants to get a goal, doesn't he? So
yeah, he's finding himself being on the right hand side, he's finding himself cutting in on his left a lot, which obviously worked really well against Wolves, and he's developing a pretty strong weak foot, really, and he's kind of having to playing out there. But yeah, he's maybe not in the positions that he'd ideally like to be, because I'm pretty sure we all envisage most of Rashford's goals coming from cutting in from the other side, and much like Martial has done over the years. So they're having to adapt with changing positions just so we can essentially fit Paul Pogba in the side at the minute. But yeah, it's disappointing for Rashford not to get a goal, but he's got plenty recently and he's performing well. I don't think it diminishes his performance at all, does it? That last 10 minutes though, they did have quite a few chances. I've got here that Grealish was putting decent crosses in, but also Matty Cash was putting them in. And I've also got a pun for you. His deliveries were on the money.
There he is. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Can I have any points for that?
It's a good
10 points for Gryffindor.
I don't care about Harry Potter. Can I have something else?
No, I don't know. What other point systems?
It's a good withdrawal from the bank of puns there. Yeah, exactly. Cash. Cold, hard cash. He was, you can't handle the money. That's not a line. But United certainly could, and we managed to stop.
That might be how I handle the money.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try.
You have poor financial skills.
What is it? Oh, you can't handle the truth.
It's not show me the money.
Show me the money. You can't handle the money. That's it.
Show me the truth.
Show me the truth. That's the next Christopher Nolan film. You heard it here first. We nullified Cash from delivering. I've just used it again. Cash on delivery. No. Is that something we're playing with?
No, I said delivery. His deliveries were on the money.
They were. Sorry, my head is just clouded with puns at the minute. I'm trying not to be Paul Merton.
I'll help you.
Okay, thank you. Please, someone help me.
was it a dolphin?
Oh, I can think of puns. A dolphin in a bathtub.
Cash put a free kick in for Tyrone Mings. And like last season, where we were 2-1 up, Tyrone Mings ended up equalising for them around the 85th minute last year, or the 80th minute. To draw 2-2, and it looked like that was going to happen again, but again, it just goes wide, thankfully, and we survive. But they just kept giving away free kicks in that sort of region and kept letting them drift into the box, and it was just a dangerous game for the last 10 minutes. And
we needed to be careful as well because we had so many players on card as well. That could have easily turned, could have really turned into a really, really, really bad, like, last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If the likes of Matic or Maguire, even Shaw was on the yellow as well. They got three of our back four on yellow cards, and it just, it was very, very nervous.
Yeah.
Unnerving, I mean.
The yellows were a slight worry. Even just for, I think someone was on the edge of a ban. I can't remember who it was.
Harry Maguire. Harry needs to go another three. If he can survive three games without getting a yellow card, it will reset itself.
Ooh, I'm not sure he's going
to
do that.
he needs to be careful, because if he does it in the next three games, then he's definitely going to have a ban.
Yeah. So there was that, and there was the late corners, really late on in the piece, the injury time corners, and I think this is kind of shows that they. Kind of sums up that they have come along a little bit. I mean, it doesn't conclusively mean this, but the fact that we survived them late corners, whereas back in the summer, I don't know if you remember when we were winning 2-1 in the last stages against Southampton, and we really needed that 3 points to go into third or fourth or whatever it was, and we just let it slip in the last minute. And there was just those little things that we weren't doing before. I mean, we've been guilty of it even this season, even a couple of weeks ago last week for the Leicester game, where we didn't quite hold on, but they held on this time. And I think, again, there's just these psychological boosts that this team keeps getting now, like going into second by beating Wolves and getting over the line and doing that, and then managing to get through the end of this game without conceding. They're all big psychological boosts, and now we're looking down on the teams below us, and we've played the same games and we're 4 points clear of most of them. There's only City that can get anywhere near us with the games that they got in hand. So that's all very positive.
Yeah, I mean, people say obviously that the table never lies, but unfortunately, in COVID times, it does.
It does a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. It's a necessity to an untruth, as my professor at university, Mr. Rasmussen.
Mr. Rasmus.
The Rasmus.
Yeah, the Rasmus.
Was he watching?
I've been watching. I've been waiting. I was studying as well, thankfully. past media. Mr. Rasmussen. Wonderful man. Uncle Raz, we called him. He looked like a Shakespearean
weird.
Character.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Nothing. No, come on now. A few one-to-ones, but nothing. You know, nothing worse. but yeah, a few tutorials. He was ever so good, and he talked like that. Make the authors do the argument, man. You know. Like David Bowie.
It sounds like David Bowie.
He is a little bit.
David Bowie.
It was pretty far out, man. But basically, anyway, where was I going with that? Mr. Rasmussen, we were talking about the table being a necessity to an untruth in the COVID times.
We're back.
But as I said when we were... Yeah, we're back. Oh, hello, welcome back. We mentioned... Yeah, I just sort of said an offhand comment to Matt that looking at the table now, it reminds me of when Man City weren't sort of owned by billionaires. Mm. I know they've not played the game in hand, or two games in hand, whatever it is, but just looking at the top of the table there without being carried away, it's like, oh my God, here we are, and like, you know, the teams around us. Sure, Aston Villa weren't a deal at that time, you know, in terms of... and Liverpool, to be fair, weren't necessarily top of the table back then. But just, it reminded me anyway, we've sort of... People are counting City out a little. Not us, but people are counting City out. And you look at the table, one glance at the table there, and you think, wow, this is... But who would have thought, after that sort of really limp defeat against Crystal Palace on the opening day, that, you know, January the 1st, we're, you know, joint first, but we're up there. And the table doesn't lie, in the sense that the teams that have played their games and the teams around us, you know, have largely not delivered. Yeah. When it counts, and if we can be the guys that capitalise on that, then more power to us, and we'll just keep going with it. You don't want to necessarily talk about a title charge at this point, even though we are very giddy, and I feel great about this. It's fantastic, you know, to get over the line, like you say, that last nervy 10 minutes. It's very important. The Wolves game again, it was like, is this coming or is it not? You know, the top sides, they win those games. They find a way somehow. They just do it, and we did. Lo and behold, you know.
Yep.
And then in this game too, the top sides, the really good ones, they see it out, and we did, and we rode our luck. But look at Liverpool against Newcastle the other day. They didn't find a way to win that game.
Yep.
They were very good. Liverpool were very good, and I'll admit that they were. If they play again like that against Southampton, then they'll win that game, surely. But they, you know, Dubravka was really good. Kyle Darlow was really good in goal, made a few really good saves. On another day, Liverpool win that game, but they didn't. And so, there you go. We just got to keep going. And one thing, a massive Eric Bailly block.
Yeah, so important. You could see, how important different. That was, though. Like, you wouldn't think you were 15, 16 games into the season with the way they were celebrating at the end of that, I can imagine there's some people out there that are saying, oh, why are they getting so excited about a win against Aston Villa, a 2-1 a game they should be winning at this stage of the season? You know there's that sort that are out there right now. But it just shows great group mentality and team spirit, I think, doesn't it? And even the players that haven't played a part, like Juan Mata was the one that put him in a headlock and stuff like that. Fernandez was just absolutely buzzing, just chucking stuff at people after the game. Rolling stuff up and chucking stuff at people on the pitch.
I think
it's just good to see a happiness and a like it looks like a genuine happiness. It doesn't seem to just be for the cameras or anything. I think there's actually a bit of a good group mentality building there.
Yeah. I was like shrieking with horror when they were mobbing Bailly because he's made of glass. They could have broke him.
Oh, well.
Just imagine if he's getting hit, someone Matt has got him headlock and his neck just snaps and like, there we go, Bailly is dead. that's exactly what would happen.
Very real fear. I think that was an interesting stat that they put out in commentary. I think someone put it out on Twitter earlier as well. That's the first time that Eric Bailly's played four, I don't know if it's four league games or just four games in a row since September 2017.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
That's mad. And it's really funny though because Bailly's good and he's a good partner with Maguire. So like when he's fit, he has to start, doesn't he? But it's just, how do you keep a man made of glass from not shattering? I thought that when he did that big kick and Grealish went to the back of him, I thought he was done. I did, and my heart sank.
Yeah, you do worry every time he goes down, don't you? Because it's just been that way from him. He's just not had a lot of luck, has he, at all? And he looks right back at it again now. I think Victor Lindelof's got something to worry about now.
I think Victor Lindelof will be the backup going forward if Bailly can stay fit, definitely.
Well, maybe that's the difference then. I mean, maybe, you know, you have defensive issues and this team still does. But, you know, you get a decent enough centre-back that can play consistently week in, week out. Not to hark back to comparing us to Liverpool, but I think you mentioned at the start of this, it's like Liverpool were like that before they got everything together and they started to be really organised. Exciting to look at going forward. Like us, that's what we are now. You trust these guys to get a goal or two in a game. Yeah, okay, one of the goals today was a penalty, but still, you've got to get in the box. You've got to get those situations where people can foul you in the box. And we look so good going forward. We have outlets like, again, going back to those last 10 minutes where it was nervous. But you knew that when the ball got transitioned to the forwards, you've got ball carriers there. And yeah. Marcus Rashford, I keep saying it, but he gets better every game, I think. Some of that close control, that dribbling, sitting people down like they were school kids. Sitting them down on the
floor. Sitting them down, feeding them and then going.
Feeding them, yeah. You know, but wow, that guy can dribble at the minute. Yeah. I don't know, I think it just seems in the past few games, his dribbling game's like up here. Okay, sure, he maybe should have released the ball a couple of times there where he dragged it a little too far, but it's mesmeric watching him just run past people and then he's, whoop, is he shooting, is he not? I can't even tell and I'm looking right at it. But, no, and then of course Bruno Fernandes, who can unlock the doors, it's, you know, we mentioned that shot from 25 yards that got tipped onto the bar. Okay, it wasn't a goal, but it was a sign of intent massively that we're looking for this extra goal here. We're still fighting and we're capable of shooting from distance now and it being a threat rather than before. Like, again, we hark back to the Ander Herrera times where it was never really a threat, was it? I mean, I love the guy, but, you know, when he got the ball 25 yards out, you know, a lot of other players, we alluded to Fred before and stuff, if he's shooting from distance, just let him, really, just, you know, it's probably not going in. But when it comes to Fernandes, there's a real threat there. He likes to get right under the ball and get it to loop up and down, and he loves that. So, So it's exciting. And then, of course, they brought Dan James on and he did some defensive stuff, didn't he, as well? And, it was clearly to pin Cash back.
Back of the net.
I got there.
That was a long build-up for that.
Back on top.
It was like a stand-up doing a really, really, really long joke. Just
I got my Stuart Lee on there.
I'm going to say typical Stuart Lee.
I couldn't think of his name. But yeah. So, yeah, to round up on the game. Great result. Puts us in a fantastic position. Puts a little bit of pressure on Southampton from us.
Southampton. I'm a Saint, sir, now.
What's the deal with Ings? Is he back or not? Is he?
He played the last game, didn't he? So.
Did he? All right.
So we could be on.
Come on, Danny.
We're doing it. We're doing it, Saints.
We need him.
We are the Saints. So we'll put the league aside for a bit. The next game is City in the Carabao Cup, a game that it looked last week that might not even go ahead with City's training ground closing and the game being cancelled and COVID outbreaks and whatnot. But the training ground's open again. I believe they're playing this weekend, as far as I know, aren't they? So
I think they've got a couple of players still out, but they're the ones self-isolating for the last batch. But they should in theory have a full team back for the Carabao game.
Yep, so a one game semi-final rather than over two legs.
That's much better for us, that.
And we're at home. And there's a bit of confidence building at home now. We've got a few wins under our belts and it's the monkey is off the back, so to speak. So how are we feeling about that one? Are we going to get to the final and meet Mr. Mourinho? We're assuming that Mourinho will get to the final with Spurs.
Yeah. I think yes. And I think that City aren't going to care about this as much, considering where they are table-wise and how much work they've got to do. And obviously still got Champions League games to play as well. I think this is something they could probably not put all their efforts into.
Do you mean in terms of they're going to have a backlog of, they're going to have a build-up of games that they need to get through and they're going to struggle to fit them all in and keep?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm thinking is they're not going to go out, they're not going to put, They're probably not going to start the strongest team because they're going to have to manage the squad as best they can with all the games that are going to come up for them. And again, they need to concentrate more on the league because they need to win the games that they've got in hand for them to get back to any sort of position where they're competing again. So
yeah, there'll be questions asked if they don't win them two games in hand, won't they? So.
Exactly. So I think that this is a game they probably don't really care too much about and they might not field the best team. And if that's the case, then we can definitely capitalise and we know we can do well in these kind of competitions. And if we go in there and just score more goals than them, then we're going through to the final and we'll beat Jose and we'll win something.
That'll be lovely. It is the Pep Guardiola Cup, though.
Yeah, it is. And he's clearly fully aware of that. In terms of holding on to it and stuff. I mean, because you can look at the Carabao Cup however you like, and you could. It's a tin pot trophy, or it's a trophy that starts you on the way to success for that season, because it's the first silverware of the calendar year, isn't it? So, but when it comes to City, yeah. Who knows? I mean, if this was against Leicester, maybe instead of us, then he plays probably, you know, he doesn't take it as seriously. But again, I think with it being us. I don't know. I actually don't think that Guardiola sees the Manchester derby the way that Ole Solskjaer does. I just don't. I remember us being in a similar position a few years ago when he played the kids against us in the.
Yeah.
It was the Carabao Cup, but I don't know if it was that deep into the competition. But,
no, we were pretty early on, I think.
Like. Yeah, but the context for that for us anyway is that we'd been beaten 4-0 off Chelsea a few days before, and I think Mourinho was probably going to do a similar thing, but decided no. I need the big guns out. We need a win. It's Manchester derby and all this, and Pashrud and all that. So who knows with this one? I obviously hope we win. We can. It's even if City do really bring the big guns out, which they might. But it's exciting. It's exciting, and maybe you know more so. We know it means more to Ollie than it does for Pep because Pep's won it X amount of times and all of that, and Solskjaer's yet to win any silverware. But you know. I think it would be such an emotional moment for everybody involved if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is able to lift a trophy, whatever it is, with United as the manager. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd just be so big for him. And we know that, you know, he's the club through and through and all this sort of stuff. And so we all want to see that. And hopefully, as you alluded to, yeah, we can get the win. It's a single, yeah, so it's a single tie, which different for the Carabao Cup, I suppose. I always wondered why they were two-legged affairs, because it's not
it's a bit strange
as
in
big,
the first place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's not as big of a tournament to warrant that, maybe, but okay. So we're playing them at a neutral venue, I imagine, then.
It's the look of the draw.
Well, there you go. All right, then. So hopefully we can beat them. I don't know what kind of team we'd put out for it. Again, I don't know, a bit of a mixture. Give Bruno a rest, maybe, but can we afford to? If Solskjaer's really desperate to win a cup, but yeah, then we're actually doing quite well in the league as well. It's not like we're floundering, so...
I think if you look one game ahead past that, that's where Bruno Fernandes' rest comes, I think, because it's Watford in the FA Cup on Saturday night.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, all right, then.
So that's the one where you think Van der Beek will come in, and maybe Dan James and a few other players that can get minutes that way.
Matter,
yeah, one Matter possibly.
Yeah,
and
Greenwood.
Reminds you how good the squad is as well. Now, at Lingard. The moment, the squad's quite...
I think for this one, the City one, I think he goes strong purely because of how many days we've got between it. It's Wednesday night, so we're on Friday night now, so he's got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Decent rest.
Whereas City play on Sunday, late on Sunday, against Chelsea away.
Big game.
Which is 2 days extra rest for United. And yes, City have got to travel down to London. And they've got to play Chelsea, which is obviously a massive game. So they're going to be going all out for that squad-wise. So yeah, the rotation may come in for them purely through necessity. Obviously, they didn't play the game against Everton the other day. So I suppose they've had a bit of downtime. So it might be swings and roundabouts, but the rest for United, either way, regardless of what City you're doing, is going to benefit us. And I think he'll go strong, pretty much as strong as he can, because to get to a final is a big deal, like you said, and it's the chance of a trophy. And you fancy us against either of the team, any of the teams that are left in it, to win it if we can get there. So hopefully he goes strong. I'm hoping he does do that. Because it'd be good, just to get to a final again would be absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic.
That's my Solskjaer impression.
A bit Italian, but that's fine. Mamma mia.
I will cut out the impressions, both in all life and in this podcast.
All of the impressions. No, maybe the whole of the podcast.
Maybe I'll leave it in.
Leave it in.
Anyway, so what are we thinking then, score wise predictions? Give me one, Matt. Can I just say as well that on the previews on the website for the last two games, I've got the score bang on. 1-0 Wolves, 2-1 Villa. Boom. So I've put the lottery
number. Congratulations. All right.
I'm doing a round of applause.
So you probably won't hear the podcast early enough. Maybe it might be out by Saturday before the lottery numbers need to be put on, but I've put the lottery numbers out on the Twitter. So if you want to make a quick note of them tomorrow afternoon when the podcast comes out to get your Saturday night winnings in, just share some of it with me and I'll be happy. There's six numbers there for you.
Sweet.
Is it six numbers these days, the lottery?
Yeah, five still, and the bonus ball.
What about the Thunderball or whatever that was?
I didn't know if I put too many numbers out there.
It could be you.
Anyway, yeah, give us a prediction, Matt.
I'm going to go with 3-0.
3-0?
To Man United. I do, and I'm going to hit you with some skull scorers.
Skull scorers?
Not Paul Scholes. I'm going to go for Pogba. I'm also going to go for Bruno Fernandes. And possibly Scott McTominay.
Oh. I think he'll go for Scott McTominay and Fred in midfield for that one. So
I can imagine it being pretty much similar to what it is tonight.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if it just went exactly the same, to be honest.
Mm.
But yeah, Connie, yeah, give us a score prediction.
It's definitely a Fritomine midfield, isn't it? Yeah. That's what it calls for. Yeah. Score prediction, okay. I think my gut's telling me that it's going to be... I always want to say 2-1 for some reason. I'm going to not be the 2-1 guy this week. I think United might win 1-0.
1-0. We will take 1-0.
Yeah, I'm not going to get all specific about goal scorers. If I was going to, I'd say a Fernandez penalty. But
well, you just have done so.
If well, we're that, take, that was hypothetical, that. Matthew, and that's like lying to your brain. I don't do that. No, I'll go on. I'll, yeah, 2-0.
2-0
to Manchester United, and we go to the cup final, and we're going to touch the cup.
We're going to touch the cup.
And it'll be in April. Hopefully life is more normal then, and there can be...
Oh, we can actually touch the cup rather than be distant
to it. There can be fans and stuff. And...
I'm going to lick the cup if we get that far.
And suck it like a Chupa Chup lolly.
I don't think you could get it in your mouth. It's a Carabao Cup. It's pretty big.
I'll have surgery.
You'll do whatever
all
is
that,
necessary.
Big day, pal.
I think all that pod money.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to be that 2-1 guy and say 2-1 because I think.
That's fine.
The City have got a goal in them. There's reason to it, and the City have got a goal in them, but I think we've got more. So there you go. We're going to the final. You've heard it here first.
I'm very excited, man.
Anyway, we're going to wrap up for today. Just to recap, Manchester United are joint top of the Premier League, and that is a good thing, and we will see where we stand come Monday night.
Fingers crossed.
It's all looking very good, guys. So we will see you after probably the City game, I imagine, because that's 5 days' time. That's enough time between podcasts, isn't it?
It is.
A good length. And, yeah, we will see you then. Say goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James.
Goodbye, everybody. All the best.
See you later, guys. Cheers.
Ciao.